This morning's message is going to be from quite a well-known Bible passage. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 17, where David, a little shepherd boy who has been anointed as the next king of Israel, he goes up against a 3 meter tall behemoth of a man, a giant, Goliath. And before we read it and take some time wherever you are to have a think about what God is saying to you through it, I want to just set it or frame it within the context of facing giants, because we all face different giants at different times in our lives. Maybe it is getting through a medical condition, or breaking a habit or temptation. Maybe it's something that you're going through that you're really struggling with, maybe a financial situation, a situation at work. Maybe it's a person that you just feel is like a giant over you or against you. Maybe it's a group of people or a task. Or maybe it's a heartbreak or a loss, like the loss of Chris. We all face different giants, different things that feel so challenging that we don't know what to do or where to turn. And maybe we feel we're just completely stuck. Maybe we feel filled with fear. Maybe we lose heart. Maybe we just don't know how to even feel. The title of this message and this Sunday's kind of exploration of God's Word is How to Find Faith When Facing Giants. And I hope and pray that through looking at God's Word together this morning, we will understand that there isn't anything too big for God, too difficult with God, and too impossible through God at work in His people. And like we had when we looked at the life of Gideon, a man who felt insignificant from a small tribe in Israel, he found security in God and the mightiness of God, so that he could fulfill what God was asking him to do. And as we looked at the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they had security in God, who is able to do, able to rescue them, able to be with them in the situation that they were facing. And then today's passage, where David goes and fights Goliath. Now, Goliath was a 3 meter, or about 3 meter tall Philistine warrior. And as we read at the beginning of chapter 17, in verse 4 and 5, he would come out of the Philistine camp and taunt the Israelite army. And by his taunting, but also his physical appearance, he would fill them with fear. As I said a few moments ago, our title this morning, or our theme, is How to Be Faith-Filled When Facing Giants. And what was happening was the Israelites were being filled with fear, not faith. This 3 meter giant, just to kind of give you an understanding of what they were facing, this 3 meter giant, Goliath, as we read just in verse 4, 5, 6, 7, some detail of his armor. Now, in 1 Samuel 17, he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing about 5,000 shekels. Now, we don't use shekels these days, but 5,000 shekels would be about 58 kilograms. That's like having a 58 kilogram person just on your chest. And he's walking around and fighting or seeking to fight wearing that kind of weight on his chest. That's not to mention his helmet and his armor, his spear and sword and things like that. Yes, he did have someone carrying a shield, but no doubt he would have been able to carry that for himself if he wanted to. This guy was gigantic. And we will see someone who is faith-filled approaching him and defeating him with God. So let's read together 1 Samuel 17, verse 23 to 51. The passage will come up on the screen, but it might be that you want to just pause and read it for yourself in your own Bibles, and then discuss with the people that you're meeting with, or just reflect by yourself, well, not by yourself, with God, what God is saying to you through these verses about being faith-filled when facing giants. Let's have a look at the passage now. So I wonder what God was emphasizing through those verses for you. If you haven't yet paused and asked God to highlight things, or reflected with him or with others in the room, what God is saying to you through this passage, can I encourage you again to just press pause? That's the wonderful thing about pre-recorded services. You're able to press pause and take time with Jesus to listen to him as you engage with scripture. Can I really encourage you to do that? If you have done that, that's wonderful. What was it that God was saying to you? I just want to share six things that I'm taking from this passage, that as I went through it with Jesus and explored it, that it was highlighted to me. So the first thing, as I was reading, I came kind of stuck, or I stopped a number of times as I read on the name David, and I didn't know what the name David meant, and I just found it strange that as I was reading it with Jesus, listening to Jesus, I kept pausing on David's name. So I looked it up, and in Hebrew, the word David is from the phrase beloved one. And I said, I asked God, what do you want to say to me, to us, about this, or through this name, beloved one, when we're trying to be faith-filled when facing giants? And I had a real sense that God was saying that the first thing in a step towards being faith-filled when facing giants is to know that you are beloved, that you are completely loved, and to remind ourselves of whose we are, not just who we are, but whose we are, that we are God's loved children. Sometimes simply allowing God to minister into our identity can give us the courage, the strength, the comfort, the hope that we need to face the giants that we're facing. Maybe that's the only thing you need to hear this morning, that you are beloved of God, that God loves you so much, that the Lord of highest heavens loves you as a father loves his children. Just take time to process that, to encounter the loving presence of God by his Holy Spirit, to pause now, and then to intentionally choose to pause in the future so that you hear God's voice louder than the giant's voice that you're facing. Father God speaking, beloved, over you. The second thing that jumped out to me as I read this passage listening to Jesus was that David sought out faith fillers, or people who were filled with faith, not fear spreaders or naysayers. The Israelite army, as we read in verse 24, are filled with great fear, and they were clearly losing heart. Even King Saul was amongst that. It doesn't say yet. The army were filled with great fear, but King Saul was brave or faith-filled. And David goes round the camp asking, well, who's going to stop this giant? Who has the faith to face this giant? And no one is saying, oh yeah, I'm going to go. David is asking, what will be done for this man? So it isn't just kind of, do you have faith to go up to face him? But the tempting repayment, or the tempting payment that Saul has promised the person that will go and defeat Goliath, that isn't enough. So it isn't just that they don't have faith. It's even that they don't have enough desire to have the personal repayment from Saul. David in going round looking for people of faith is an action that I think is helpful for us as we seek to be faith-filled when facing giants. Despite his age, he goes to seek men who have faith in the living God, who will actually make a stand rather than running away. I wonder how many times you've had, you've tried to have faith, but that faith has been dampened by people who are naysayers, who are fear-filled. David's brother Eliab in verse 28 is one of these people that clearly is filled with fear, and that fear causes him to react angrily towards David. Yeah, David's gone, and he's gone with gifts from his father, and he's gone to, his father Jesse earlier on in the chapter has asked David to report back of what's going on, but Eliab just sees David's question and David simply being there as something to get angry about. There's a line in one of the Star Wars films, it's Star Wars Episode 1, where Yoda says that anger leads to fear. And it's one of those kind of famous lines from that film. And it's true how when we, fear leads to anger, the other way around. When we have fear, it can bring out other emotions or emotional responses. And sometimes how people respond with cutting remarks or anger or disdain or those kind of things, it's rooted in fear of the situation or the giant that they're facing or you're facing together. And David goes and seeks out, even though he's been challenged by his brother, he still goes to seek out anyone who has has enough faith to face the giant Goliath. David could have simply listened to his brother and retreated home, but he goes out and seeks out other faith-filled people in the army. The third thing that I love from this passage, and God was highlighting from it, is that if we're to be faith-filled when facing giants, we need to look back at God's faithfulness and how he has been faithful in the past and shown his power in the past in order for us to know his power and faithfulness in the present and for us to move forwards into the future. In verse 32, King Saul sees David's faith as foolishness. Saul sees only a boy before him. Yet David knew that with God, as he wrote later on in Psalm 18, verse 29, that with God he could rise up against an army, with God he could scale a wall. David had that faith, even from a young age. Yet Saul saw it as foolishness. And when Saul questions David's faith and confidence and a desire to go up against Goliath so that people will not lose heart, David says, look, God's been faithful in the past. He's shown his power and his ability in the past. And therefore, I have faith in him in the present, and I will step forward into the future to go up against the giant. In verse 34 to 37, we read these words. David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul, after hearing this, says to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." David draws on his past experience and uses it as evidence, as it were, that God is powerful and mighty and will enable him to defeat Goliath as well. I wonder what past experience or encounters with God of his faithfulness and power and presence. What situations that God has revealed himself to you that you can draw on so that you can have faith now, and not just have faith, but be faith-filled as you face a giant now or in the future. We can be faith-filled as we look back on how God has been faithful. And if we don't have the personal evidence or experiences, we can't think of them. Go back into scripture, do that anyway, but go back into scripture and see time and time and time again, God proves himself to be powerful and faithful and present. We can go back into the past and see how God has been faithful, and we therefore can be faith-filled in the present. The last few things just to share from this passage that came to mind or came onto my heart as I was praying through it with Jesus. The next one, number four, is grow faith one step at a time. Sometimes we can see a giant so big, and we don't know where to start. There's that phrase, "How do you eat an elephant?" And the answer is, well, by one bite at a time. And it's similar sometimes with giants. We don't know how we're going to get through a situation. We don't know how we're going to get through a financial crisis or a medical condition or such a heartbreaking loss. We get through it one day at a time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. And we say, God, give me faith for this moment. Give me strength for today. Give me hope for this next hour. Give me peace during this next meeting. Give me confidence as I meet with this person. Give me ability not to crumble as I go into this group situation. Give me the hope that you will bring me through, or that you are with me as I go to this medical appointment. We overcome giants often with one step of faith at a time. We grow to be more faith-filled as one step at a time, we have a little bit of faith being poured in at a time. Number five is not necessarily from this passage, but there are times where God just blesses us with a gift of faith. And this is a prayer that I'm saying for our church family at the moment, but especially for Sarah and for Kayla and for Nathan, that God will grant them the gift of faith by his Holy Spirit, that they will be filled so much with faith and not fear, or that there will be hope spoken into them by God himself. And this is a prayer, a gift that God gives to different people at different times by his Holy Spirit. We read about it in the New Testament that it's the gift of faith that can be defined as an ability for believers to rise above different situations, pressures, problems that they might otherwise be crippled by. That God himself gives them that supernatural faith in order to face the giants that they have before them. Please join me in praying that over our church family at the moment, that as well as growing a little bit of faith so that we're increasingly being faith-filled followers of Jesus as we face different giants and things, pray that God also will gift faith to different people across our church family. And the last one is how we see David himself stepping forward in faith. And we can have our tanks full of faith, as it were. But faith isn't faith unless we step forward in it, unless we move forwards. It's just knowledge and awareness if we're just sitting still, if we are not making it an active thing. And yes, sometimes God does just say to us to be still and know that I'm God. And that isn't a completely passive thing. It's choosing to be still and allowing God to reign and to work or to minister. David knows that God is going to use him. He wasn't full of talk. He was filled with faith, and faith led to action. And he steps forward in faith. In verse 40, we read that he approaches the Philistine. He takes his staff in his hands and he chooses five smooth stones from the stream, puts them into a shepherd's bag, and has a sling in his hands, and he approaches the Philistine. We see that he isn't going with Saul's army or Saul's weapons. He's simply, as he says in verse 45, he's simply trusting in the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. And he says to Goliath in verse 47, "All those gathered will know that it is the Lord that saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Just want to end with this point that as we step forwards in faith, with whatever faith we have in these moments, as we face the giants before us, whatever those giants are for you or for us as a church, however big our faith is feeling at the moment, as we step forwards, we can have confidence that the battle is the Lord's. And we need to have faith that God will help and that God will fight. One of the verses that God ministered to me through when I was facing a big, big giant of taking on the pastor team leader role, with so many critics and giants saying, no, I don't see that, and criticizing the fact that I have a stutter or a stammer, or that I'm not this and I'm not that, and you're not old enough, you're not experienced enough. Similar things that people were saying to David. God spoke to me on the 19th of October, 2021. So 2020. And he spoke through the radio. So I turned on the radio and Exodus verse 14 came straight through. And then later on, someone in Scotland sent this verse, Exodus 14, verse 14. We had a staff retreat during that day, and someone shared that verse, Exodus 14, verse 14, and it says this: "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. In other versions, it says, "Do not be afraid, stand still, for the battle is the Lord's and he will fight for you." As we step forwards in faith, we can have confidence that God will fight the giants for us and with us. I pray that you and I will be faith-filled as we face giants in our lives, in our situations, in our church family as well. Can't we pray together and ask God to minister his words into our hearts by his Holy Spirit? Father God, we recognize that you are bigger than all giants. Whatever the giants are in our lives, you are bigger and stronger and mightier, and you are present in this time, in this moment. We pray for the gift of faith to be released across our church family by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will release words from Scripture and words speaking into different situations, specific things that will bring hope and strength and comfort and peace and faith. God, we pray that you will bring an outpouring of faith across your people. And whatever giant it is we're facing, God, I pray that you'll help us to know that you have been faithful in the past, so we can be faith-filled in the present. And that we know, God, that you will fight for us and through us. And that with you, God, we can overcome the giants that we face. Thank you, God, for the times that you have spoken to me through your word, by your people, by your Holy Spirit, so that giants can be overcome and we can move forwards by faith. I pray, God, that you will do the same again. Speak, Lord, encourage, build up, champion your people. Fill them with your presence, with your love. Speak the word beloved over them today, so that they know deep, deep, deep down that no one can rob or steal, or that it won't fade, that like in a permanent marker, that you write over each of our hearts the words beloved, and that you are with us, God, and that you will fight for us, and that together we will overcome the giants before us. For your glory, Lord. Amen.